my jaw completely split in two and popped off the TMJs, that not a single tooth had broken or fallen out. So they sewed up all the trauma, and this trauma kind of biting back together, and then they performed the reconstruction surgery on my face. So my face, you know, it eventually came back to pretty much in shape. But I had these cool scars, right? Yeah. And so that was like the very first agent I ever got. Like, you know, that was the thing that he was so stoked about. He's like, there's nobody else in town that's got those scars. Like, we're going to get all the bad guy parts. So, you know, that was really, so, you know, that kind of, it was like, well, I don't want to be the bad guy, but, you know, but then I learned that those are actually the better roles anyway.
This is pdxpodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in.
That was actor and director Todd Robinson reflecting on one of the most difficult moments of his life. We learn more about that today, but we also want to talk about his 2017 projects. He's got three feature films coming out. Spring, summer, and fall, it's a very exciting time to be Todd Robinson. It's a very exciting time period. I mean, spring's coming up. All the snowpocalypse have ended. And some butt cheeks are starting to show up. At least here at PSU. Not that I'm looking. I don't look. My name is Gregory Day. You're listening to the Weekly Portland Podcast at pdxpodcast.com, also pdxpod.com, also northwestpodcast.com. Now back to 2017 for Todd Robinson. It's going to be a big year for him. I wanted to hear more about that.
For 2017, I'm really stoked because I have two feature films that I was like the you know, the sidekick to the main guy in. No, I was like this. I'm second or third lead. In two feature films, and then I've got a really like fun supporting role in another feature film, and all three of those will be coming out this year, like spring, summer, and fall. So a Western that I did with these guys, Papa Octopus Productions in LA. My friends Justin and Kevin are the principals in that company, and they came to me so December 2015, and actually there had been in the summer of 2015, I was in LA and I went to meet Justin for a beer at a place in LA, and Kevin was there and we met, and Justin just looked at us and he was like, oh shit, you guys are the brothers, because we just hit it off instantly, Kevin and I did. And
kind of look like you should be in a Western. You got, yeah, that look.
Well, yeah, like, so I'll get to that, but yeah, this is kind of like the new thing. Like, I'm kind of sticking with this this grizzly look because it's working right now. So so Justin says, yeah, you guys got to be the brothers in this Western. So we go up to Montana in December of 2015, and we shoot this Western up there, kind of like right about the time that the Revenant is about to come out and everything. And we got into that, like, let's really be miserable and, you know, completely immerse ourselves in the elements here. And we did. So that movie is, it's being wrapped up in post-production right now. They just finished color. They just finished the sound mix, getting all the titles and everything and the score finalized on that. And that's going to have a spring premiere. I'm super pumped about that. Then in the summertime, a movie that Brett Eichenberger, that Jill Remensnyder wrote and Brett Eichenberger directed, called Pretty Broken. Oh, that Western's called Any Bullet Will Do. Pretty Broken, Brett and Jill's movie with a company called Leonian Pictures out of L.A. They co-produced with Brett and Jill. Fun role. I play a drunk guy at a car lot that the two main characters get a job at, and I'm pretty much there for comic relief in a otherwise pretty melancholy movie. And it's fun. I had a great time with it. I got to look ridiculous, and I was doing some really silly, stupid stuff in there that it's not so over the top that it will that'll take away from the overarching message of the movie, which is really great. That's called Pretty Broken. And then a movie that we just wrapped in December 2016 with Papa Octopus guys. Same guys from the Western. We went up to Mount St. Helens, and we made a monster movie up on Mount St. Helens.
A monster movie?
A monster movie, yeah. So, you know, I don't want to give too much away here because, you know, I know all of the myriad fans listening to this show are going to hate it if I give away spoilers. But it is some mountain men, you know, stuck on a mountain with a monster, and it's a race to get off the mountain.
And what's this called?
It is called Big Legend.
Big Legend.
Yeah.
And this is going to come out when?
Next fall. Or no, this fall.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying it like we're still in December, but no, we're definitely in January 2017. And it is probably going to be out this October-ish, like kind of Halloween-ish, because that's the right time for a monster movie to come out.
This is a big year for you.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean,
it's about time.
I guess in theory, yeah, no, for sure. So I, in the past years, I've been blessed to go to some really great film festivals as either first assistant director or as a producer or as both, and you know, as the filmmakers, you get love at film festivals, and people are like, oh, yeah, I loved your movie. You're really great. But you look at the actors, you know, at the film festivals. I mean, they are just being showered with love, showered with it. I'm kind of looking forward to some opportunities of getting that shower of love myself this year. It sounds selfish, but, you know, I never in, like, 20 years of doing this, like, I've never really been at a film festival as an actor, like, with a bunch of people seeing me in a principal role. So you know, it I have three opportunities to, like, really break up some rooms this year, and so I'm hoping it goes well. I'm hoping to go to at least some cool mid-tier festivals and meet some more people and hopefully get some more opportunities. I started working on movies and videos in town about 20 years ago. Actually, Tom McFadden, former OMPA director and just man about town, Tom McFadden and I were in a band, and then that band broke up, and
I heard about that.
Our ska band, Kid Unconscious, awesome band. I'll give you a 7-inch before you leave. So we had this band. The band broke up. I was kind of depressed after that because I was like, oh man, what am I going to do, you know, to be creative? And Tom was working selling advertising for a show that was on Fox 49 at the time called Insomnia, hosted by Gustav of NRK fame. And yeah, and it was like a music video show.
Oh, okay.
And then I started working on it with Tom and a guy named Brett Eichenberger. Brett's awesome. And, you know, first guy I worked on stuff in town with. And he was just a kid. He was just barely out of high school. I was like, you know, 20-something. And we started working and we started creating some sillier stuff. And it was kind of making a transition from music culture to board sports culture kind of stuff. And so we were doing skating and snowboarding stuff. And I started working on a lot of these and doing like segment producing with Brett and helping out on Insomnia. And then that just kind of worked out to, oh, hey, so-and-so's making a movie. They need somebody to work in the grip department. Do you have any interest in that? I went and I, you know, then in late 90s, people were still shooting their independent films on 16 or 35 millimeter film. So it was cool. I got to learn a lot of that process. I got to work with some really amazing gaffers and DPs working on these independent films on celluloid. And really just fell in love with the process of making movies and being on set and all that. And then worked on art department on a larger, like a $1 million kind of budget movie then.
Big budget movie.
Oh, yeah. And at the time, like 1999, like, you know, that's a pretty good budget for a little scrap together independent film. And, you know, the project totally... like the plug got pulled eventually. It was, we never even rolled cameras. We, I worked in art department on that and we made a whole giant set and we did all this great stuff, spent like $90,000, and nothing ever rolled on the movie. And, in that period of time, I met Greg James and Mike Prosser and teamed up with those guys in the Playground Films company. And started making short films with those guys. And in that, in those short films, I started acting more. And I had acted as a kid. My dad raised me to entertain my grandmother, like taught me how to do little impressions and voices. And I used to crack my grandma up. And then all through school, I was in productions in high school and thespian club and working in a curtain call dinner theater in town there in Tustin, California. So the acting was just kind of a natural thing that I just grew up like being a performance kind of person was always there. I guess once I got in my 20s, all of that was kind of focused more in music and less on the film side. But then... with these guys, with Mike and Greg, I started having a lot of fun in front of the camera, and you know, we were doing really silly, stupid things. And then we met up with like the Freeman Brothers and a few other people, and then our little collective started growing.
What was this?
This was probably like 2002, 2003, and we all started hanging out together at Sabala's when Jason Sabala owned the Mount Tabor Theater there, and we were watching each other's short films and just totally slaying each other on critique and
just brutal with each other. Was that that kind
absolutely.
Of environment?
Absolutely, totally brutal. Yeah. We'd
that's
make,
how you get better.
Yeah, that's how we looked at it, you know. And a lot of people, you know, there were a few other guys that were just kind of hanging out around there. Like I remember Carl Lind being around all the time. Just people that were, you know, doing this real independent thing, trying to be better, being brutally honest with each other about how good their stuff was or wasn't. And it made us, it thickened our skin and like made us bolder to do crazier shit. So to kind of bring it to where I've been like in the last few years with like the first ADing feature films and producing stuff, it's a thing. Like when I'm on set, I still struggle with it where, you know, directors want it. Oh, okay. You know, cut. Oh, no, actually just keep it rolling. And then they'll go and they'll talk to the actors for like a minute and then we're still rolling. And it's a, you know, it's odd to work in that sense because back in the day when that camera was rolling, there was like a producer making diamonds in the corner, just, you know, and that sound, like that's money. And you know, it's totally not like that now. And even the whole process has kind of been, I wouldn't say dumbed down, but just kind of like mushy, you know, like you can do your own process now. It's like, Okay, all right, here we go. Action. Oh, shouldn't we roll the cameras? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, roll the cameras. Should we roll sound? Oh, yeah, yeah, roll the sound. Okay, everybody going? Okay, cool. Yeah, all right, let's go. Action, you know. Like, there's, unless you have like a first AD or somebody who grew up in that celluloid process that worked for 100 years without, you know, getting dumbed down, you know, you don't know. Like, there's a whole generation now that don't even know. They have not experienced that process. And, you know, I'm kind of going off on a really weird tangent, but...
Would you consider yourself a social person, like a real social guy, like a real mix-it-up-at-the-party kind of dude? I'm curious, just for me.
Yeah. No, I am. I am.
You seem that way.
No, I am. I am. Okay. I get to a place and I totally just want to be... I want to be where the action is, and I want to tell stories, and yeah, I totally, and I, you know,
people do want to know you, you know, they want to know you.
I guess I have one of those faces, you know, it's like, oh yeah, look at that guy. I want to talk to that guy. He looks interesting. No, yes, I am a very social person. I think that that's something that, like Lara loved about me, like not her not being a social person, is that, you know, I've rubbed off on her over the years. Like now she'll go to a social event and she'll actually just kind of wander off into different circles of people that she knows and talk to them and work the room. But, you know, she would never do that before, but that was something that she liked about me. We'd go out and, you know, I'd just kind of work the room and she'd come around with me, and, you know, I seemed to know everybody. And I guess I am one of those guys, and I think that, like, as an actor who, like, strives to be successful, like, that's an important part of it. Like, I mean, you can totally be the hermit who never talks to anybody, and as long as you've got a few filmmakers that know who you are and know where to find you and, like, yeah, call you and put you to work. But, you know, if you want to get out there and work, and you don't, and you're not already a name, or you don't have an agent who's, you know, getting you out there constantly, you do have to kind of go out and, you know, mingle with people, and
yeah.
And you might as well have fun with it. And, you know, sometimes, like, there are times when, you know, I'm not in the mood for it, but it's an event that's scheduled, and, you know, kind of feel a responsibility as a member of the community.
And finally, we close with the accident that profoundly changed Todd's life.
In May 1994, I worked at a place that's not here anymore called Hamburger Mary's, downtown. It's kind of like the epicenter of crazy action going on in town. It was a weird hamburger joint museum, with a gay bar attached to it. And it was all staffed by like musicians and artists and weirdos. And so, one of our favorite servers was leaving to go to New York, and it was his last day. So we had a going away party for Mitchell, and we all got really, really toasted. And over the course of the night, I drank probably nearly a bottle of scotch myself, and some other things to kind of like help you stay awake and drink more. And so it's very, very early in the morning, and we retreat to an apartment building that I lived in at the time, called the Arthur. It's above the Birkenstock store, where the Max used to turn around between Morrison and Morrison 11th up there. And so we went up to the roof. Well, I lived in the Arthur building at the time. And so my friend David and I and a couple other coworkers went up to the roof. And because the next morning at 7 a.m. there was going to be an eclipse. So we were going to hang out up on the roof and wait for the eclipse. And we were just completely loaded. And so we're up there and we're, you know, we're digging around, and me being kind of like daredevil guy, I'm jumping up on the ledge of the building, pretending like I'm going to fall off, and then coming back onto the roof. And people are like, stop doing that. Like, what are you doing? And I kept doing it. And I jumped up one time and I turned and I kind of lost my footing. And I reached over and I grabbed a chimney that was standing right there. And the brick slid out of the chimney, fell across a little like 5-foot alleyway between the Arthur building and the German-American building next door, which was a 2-story building. And the brick went, and then my weight followed the brick. And at that point, I blacked out. And so what happened to me is I fell, completely limp, blacked out, swan dive, and land cleared the alleyway between the buildings, landed face first on the edge of the roof of the 2-story building next door, rolled over onto the roof with my face caved in. I split my lower jaw down the middle, and it popped off at the TMJs, and my nose was crushed, and my eye orbit was broken, and I just kind of had like a caved-in face. But I wasn't unconscious, and I also had a broken pelvis, and I was trying to... My friend David came flying down the fire escape and jumped across, and I was trying to get up and talk to him, and he told me to lay back down. So then they call 911, paramedics come, they get me off the roof, they take me to the VA hospital. The VA hospital takes one look at me and says, what are we supposed to do with this? This guy's a mess, take him up to OHSU. So they took me up to OHSU. Where I came to for the first time, like I came out of the blackout, and a friend of mine was looking down at me and just totally freaking out. And I was in ICU for a couple of days, and the plastic surgery department, the head of the plastic surgery department, was very excited about my case. And he took my case, and he is crazy. So the most remarkable thing about it was that my jaw completely split in two and popped off the TMJs, but I did not break or
TMJs.
Lose
TMJs.
The something mandibular joint, where the top of the lower jaw sits into.
It doesn't sound good, whatever.
No, it doesn't. It's not good. But he was very excited about the case, and so he marveled about the fact that not a single tooth had broken or fallen out. Yeah. Like, they were all in there. They jostled a little bit, but they were all still in there. Yeah. So he was very excited. He about a week after, so they sewed up all the trauma, and the trauma kind of biting back together, and then they performed the reconstruction surgery on my face. And they went up and they put like a titanium plate in my eye orbit, and then they realigned my jaw, put a titanium plate across the front of my jaw, lined all my teeth up, wired them together, and I had my jaw wired shut for 9 weeks. I was at OHSU for 2 weeks and I convalesced for 7 weeks at my mom's house on a hospital bed. And yeah, and then
lessons learned.
yeah, for sure. I don't drink on roofs anymore. No, you know, it definitely it shaped me up. I got a crazy pain tolerance out of it. And it was, you know, it's one of those things. Like, I scared the hell out of my mom. Like, you know, and my everybody, actually, like, there were three reactions when people came into the hospital room. They either fainted, gagged, or started crying. There was no other reaction. That was like everybody had the same one of those three. It was really nuts. But, you know, it also so my face, you know, it eventually came back took pretty much in shape. But I had these cool scars, right?
Yeah.
And so that was like the very first agent I ever got. Like, you know, that was the thing that he was so stoked about. He's like, there's nobody else in town that's got those scars. Like, we're going to get all the bad guy parts. So, you know, that was really, so, you know, that kind of, it was like, well, I don't want to be the bad guy, but, you know, but then I learned that those are actually the better roles anyway.
Thank you, Todd. And thank you for listening to the Weekly Portland Podcast. We'll be back next Monday. See you then.